Hey, well, there's a not-so-well-known saint. His name, Saint Telemachus. He was most famous for a wild thing he did in the Roman Colosseum. So he was not during the time when Christians were thrown into the Colosseum to be killed, to be fought against by other gladiators. Rather, this was outside the time of Christian persecution. He went into the Colosseum himself because he was watching the Colosseum. Although it wasn't persecuting and being used to kill Christians anymore, it was being used to mercilessly kill criminals, prisoners of war, other people. Telemachus could not stand that even Christians would be in the stands of the Colosseum watching people be forced to fight to the death, to fight against animals, to be just killed in very inhumane ways. Even though, yeah, they're criminals, they're prisoners of war, and part of even us today, we like to see the bad guy get his deserve. But Telemachus could see there's something more. These people must be treated with dignity. So he throws himself into the ring and he screams, "Stop this! This is an offense against God, sending people to kill them in this way, even if they're criminals, sure." And the people, of course, were very upset. They tried to shove him aside. He refused. He kept yelling, like, this is wrong, and they killed him. And then history goes, don't know exactly how it went about, but the Roman emperor at the time, Honorius, ceased all games in the Colosseum as a result of his death, because they saw, what have we done? This holy man came in, and in our bloodlust, we killed him as well. Powerful example. Saint Telemachus changed the whole empire of Rome and getting to stop these evil games, this inhumane treatment of criminals and prisoners of war and other people. And today's readings are really trying to get us to see what is going on in Saint Telemachus' heart. Because yes, it's true, criminals, people who do evil on earth, do need to be separated from society, and sometimes it means even the death penalty. Although today, normally we can keep people in prisons. In other times and in other places, certainly that's allowed when it's for the protection of others or self-defense. But Telemachus could see even they need to be treated with dignity. Just because we do something wrong doesn't mean we lose that right to a chance for repentance, mercy, to reform our lives. The Book of Wisdom tells us from the beginning here that God's power is not seen in his ability to wipe out all the bad guys. He can do that very easily. But in his power to work in their hearts and show them mercy, to give them a chance to be saved. Listen, your might is the source of justice. Your mastery over all things. Your mastery over all things makes you lenient to all. The fact that God is so powerful, he can even work with our sin and our mess to bring good out of it. That's what shows his power. And so we're expected to reflect that as well when we deal with others and ourselves who are sinners. The trust. The psalm tells us, "Praise you, Lord, you are good and forgiving." Praises God for the fact that he does show kindness to us even when we sin. Even when we hurt others, God still has mercy on us. Such encouragement there. And the gospel, these beautiful parables, all getting at the heart of God's true power and ability to work with sinners, showing us how, yes, if we are willing to give dignity and mercy to even the worst members of our society, God can do miracles in their hearts. Let's dive briefly into this parable right now. First of all, how did the weeds, those representing evildoers, how did they get into the garden? While everyone was asleep. Just the fact that they were all snoozing because the day is done. And this parable is not just talking about growing crops. It's a spiritual interpretation of evil in the world. While everyone was asleep, we know we're at fault for the presence of evil in the world. You know, when we are asleep on the job of being vigilant, starting with Adam, who let the snake into the garden. So why do we need to show mercy? Why is it so important to be like Telemachus and see the good in others? Is first and foremost, what they did wrong, we're partially responsible for. Anytime you or me sin, it hurts everyone else in the body of Christ and beyond, and we have a part in everyone else's sin. So we can never say, man, that person's terrible. They deserve to be killed. If that's true, then, well, what about me? Because I'm partially responsible for the evil in the world that others do. So first we recognize that, and the parable tells us, well, everyone was asleep, the weeds got in the garden. So, hey, we're partially responsible. Two, very interesting fact about the word in Greek that is used for weeds here. Like zizani or something like that. And it refers to a particular weed that looks a lot like wheat. Apparently early on, it's very difficult to distinguish between what is weeds and wheat when it comes to these two plants. And so this, the people of our Lord's time would have recognized, like, huh, this is that weed that even good farmers have trouble distinguishing. It's showing us, we might be quick to judge others, but we have no idea what's a true weed and what's wheat. We have no idea what God's doing in the hearts of even the murderers, the drug dealers, the worst people in this world. We have no idea what God's doing in their hearts, what good he has planned for them. They might seem like a weed. They might be doing terrible things right now, but how many times have we heard powerful conversion stories? Some of the greatest Catholics today lived horrible lives before. You know, so this idea that the weeds are not something that we can judge, not until harvest time. When it comes to the end of our life, it's the Lord's job to say, like, ah, there's the fruit. That's wheat. You're coming to heaven. And if someone persists in evil to the last moment of their death, that's a weed, and they will not. So for God to judge, not us. Third thing, last thing, this idea of not being able to pull up the weeds because it'll hurt the other. So, yeah, he says, Lord, do you want us to pull them up? And the master of the harvest says, no, if you pull up the weeds, you might uproot the wheat along with them. Makes sense. You've pulled weeds in your garden before, or maybe not. Maybe your parents didn't make you do that when you were growing up. We had to pull a lot of weeds. First of all, they always break off, and then they grow back. It's like, ah! But if they come up, and if they're in the midst of a bunch of flowers, the whole, like, all the soil comes up, and the flowers come out of the ground, too. And, yeah, some of the roots of weeds that grow among good things are intertwined. And so it is a fact in gardening, you can't just pull weeds up if they're all sown throughout the wheat. It'll hurt the wheat. But spiritually, just as much. You see, if God were just to mercilessly kill everyone who sinned, we would be really in trouble. First of all, we're sinners too, so we wouldn't make it. Second of all, think of this. What if you went to confession, or actually, say you're in line for confession, and someone goes up, and there's a lightning flash, and the person comes out of the confessional black and smoking? What are the chances you're going to go to confession after that? Very low. So the Lord has mercy always, and we are confident to go to the confessional because we know that's not going to happen. The Lord doesn't just randomly choose to, like, punish people violently, and then others he shows them mercy. He always shows us mercy when we ask for it. We don't ever have to wonder. God's not going to just come down and randomly start pulling up wheat. The idea here is if we can't trust in God's mercy, it's going to hurt us. And if we see all the weeds around us just getting slayed and shocked with lightning, we're going to really start to doubt God's mercy for us as well. So that's the spiritual thing going on. The weeds have to be allowed to grow among us. Because that same mercy shown to them, the people we so wrongly judge, it's being shown to us. And that example of mercy, the fact that God has such radical mercy for such, you know, sometimes terrible people, reminds us that, wow, the Lord's going to have mercy on me as well. Even if one day I make a mistake that bad, what trust we can have in God. And so we have to have a heart like Telemachus. We need to. And it's so easy to, like, really think, like, ah, I want the bad guys to just all die, and that'll make the world better. Well, we'd be dead too. And we'd really be questioning whether God is a merciful God or not. And his power, true power, not just to wipe out all his enemies, but to work in the heart of his enemies, to convert them from weeds into wheat. So today, ask yourself, do you judge others harshly? Are you quick to look down on people? You know, even if they are genuinely hurting others. And we should judge actions, and sometimes we need to incarcerate, and sometimes in some countries and situations where incarceration is not possible, the death penalty is allowed. We have to defend ourselves. But what has to be in our heart is what is in Telemachus' heart, is if there's any chance that I can be an instrument of mercy in this person's life and bring them to conversion, to save them from death, spiritual death above all, that has to be what we fight for, even to our own death. And so we pray to St. Telemachus today, asking him to inspire in us that heart that he had, a heart that knows so clearly what this parable of the weeds and the wheat means, that trusts in God's power to convert even the hardest hearts, and that trusts in God's mercy for us, no matter what we do in life, that he'll never give up on us, and that we can always trust everything we need for conversion will be given to us and more.